All like it, Granite laughed. The innkeeper will get the pot back to me. Enjoy the rest of the meal. Smiling, he walked out of the inn, leaving them alone to eat his cooking. The silence stretched as each of them focused on the meal before them. The pot ran empty, as did the second bottle of wine after some time. The group sat there, full and sated, with smiles on their faces. Well, that was a good way to end the day, Gerald chuckled. See you all tomorrow for the next set of zones? Karen, Fluff, and Albert all agreed as Gerald got to his feet. Taking Mary Sue's hand, the couple homestoned out of the fort. Once they were gone, the quartet sat there a moment longer before anyone spoke up.
We should be going as well, Stacia finally said. We'll be looking at another of your memories tonight, she said, looking at Albert. How bad is this one going to be?
Albert asked, a small tremor of fear washing through him.
We'll be looking at a painful memory for you,
Stacia told him as she got to her feet.
I be thinking it'd be best to confront your memories, instead of letting you try to hide from them.
Getting to his feet slowly, Albert nodded. So I'll end up bawling like a baby again?
We will be here with you, Fluff said, as she put her hand on his shoulder. We'll even wipe your tears away, Karen added as she held out her homestone. Ready?
No, Albert admitted as he pulled out his own homestone. But this is to help me, so I'll do it anyway. The quartet vanished from the inn, reappearing before their home. They bathed in uncharacteristic silence, Albert clearly not looking forward to the evening. Eventually, they wound up in the master bedroom. Albert looked at the three beauties around him, feeling their love wash over him. I hope it isn't as bad as last time, Albert said as he got comfortable.
We'll be here for you, Fluff reminded him, as she bent to kiss his forehead.
Stacia began to sing, as she knew he was stalling. They watched as his eyes closed, his breathing evened out, and his face relaxed. Stacia paused her song to look at the other two.
We be ready.
Once they touched her and him, she sang on, pulling them all into Albert's mind. They stood in an isolation cell. Seamus was sprawled out on the bed reading a book titled Office Wars. As he turned a page, the cuff flap unlocked, making him frown as he looked at the door. Seamus, your attorney is here, Jasperson called to him. Come give us your wrists. Grunting as he put the book aside, Seamus got to his feet. He put his arms behind his back, allowing the guards to cuff his hands behind him through the cuff flap. The cold metal ratcheted down until it was snug. As the door opened, Seamus saw that Sergeant Jasperson had another guard with him. I didn't think I had an appointment with Moorhead today. You didn't, Jasperson replied. Are you doing okay in ISO? Still don't know why I'm in here, but yeah. At least I don't have to deal with assholes, Seamus replied. Jasperson walked Seamus down to the attorney room. I hope you remember all this someday, Seamus. Eyeing Jasperson and wondering if the sergeant had a screw loose, Seamus shrugged. I remember things just fine. I just wish this place was closer to home. Maybe then Mom would actually visit me so we could talk. Wincing, Jasperson looked away from Seamus, remembering the scene months ago when Seamus had learned of his mother's death. I don't think that would help any at this point, Jasperson finally said as he paused outside of the room to open the door. Moorhead, your client is here, Jasperson announced, as he led Seamus into the room and cuffed his hand to the bench. We'll be outside. Moorhead waited for the guards to leave before he spoke. Seamus, how have you been? Jasperson asked how I was doing in isolation earlier. Still don't know why I'm in there, but I'm sure it's for a good reason. Seamus shrugged. What brings you out here today?
Moorhead fiddled with his briefcase for a minute.
Well, that is the question. And I don't think you're going to like the answer. Do you recall the last time we talked? Dad's estate, but that was about 6 months ago, Seamus said, as he rubbed at his brow with his one free hand.
Sorry, I just had a head rush.
Moorhead knew this was not going to go well, but he had to fulfill his obligations.
It involves a legal matter as an executor of an estate.
We did all of Dad's paperwork, Seamus grunted, as he closed his eyes and rubbed at his face.
Man, this headache is getting worse.
We did finish that, as well as your mother's,
Moorhead replied while watching Seamus carefully.
Albert shivered as he watched the scene, his own head starting to throb.
I think I can remember this, he muttered while rubbing his head.
Stacia held him from behind.
It gets worse.
Seamus blinked against the pain in his head.
Mom, what about her? Did she send me a letter through you?
His face was contorted in a pain-laced grimace as he rubbed his temples.
So what are we dealing with today, then?
Pulling a simple sheet of paper from his briefcase, Moorhead passed it to Seamus.
Your friend David McMullen wanted you to have this.
David?
Seamus was puzzled as he took the paper to read it.
Seamus, I'm sorry it's come to this, old friend. I couldn't face you after that last time when you asked me about Kaylee. I was too weak to confront you about the truth then. Hell, I'm still too cowardly to do it now. I've talked to everyone I could to find out if there was a way for me to help you. All of them advised me to wait, that you would come out of it on your own.
It's been over a year and you haven't, which depresses me.
When we met, we both took to each other, and I could never ask for a better friend. You were there for me and Kaylee, Uncle Seamus, as she frequently called you, or Dad when she wanted to be a brat to both of us. She loved you as much as I did. If I had a brother, I only hope he would have been as good as you are. I never got the chance to thank you for killing that fucking bastard. It helped the heaviness in my heart some when you did. I still couldn't find real joy, though. I talked to your dad, and he helped me come back to God. I have finally come to terms in my own mind about who or what God is. He might not be infallible, but I sincerely hope there is a heaven for you, me and Kaylee.
With the passing of your family, I know you probably hoped that I would be here for you. I won't be, though. Not if you're reading this. I hope one day that you will understand and forgive me, my truest friend. Kaylee loves you, and she is in good hands until you can hold her again. I hope you come to fully recall and know what has come before. And if there is a heaven, we will be waiting for you. Your friend forever, David McMullen.
Seamus seemed to crumple in on himself as he clutched the letter to his chest. Deep sobs racked his body, shaking his entire frame.
Albert was in much the same condition. Stacia had put an enlarged copy of the letter before all of them, so they could all read it easily. He fell to the ground, Stacia unable to support him, deep, racking sobs shaking his body. The trio of women huddled down next to him, holding him, rocking him, and whispering softly to him as they brushed at his tears, trying to comfort him. As Seamus began to sob hysterically, the door opened, allowing Sergeant Jasperson and three more guards into the room with a stretcher.
Figured this might happen, Jasperson sighed. Are you done, Moorhead?
Moorhead shook his head.
I'll need to come back later and have him sign some paperwork. I might have to arrange for it when he is in care of the doctor, like the last time with his mother's paperwork.
Make arrangements ahead of the next time, please. He gets more unstable every time you bring news like this.
I'll do what I can, Sergeant.
Moorhead watched as the trio of guards got Seamus onto the gurney and strapped in.
Poor sod. He was a good man before all this, Jasperson said. I can't really blame him for what he did. We all talked about it when he got here, and most of us would have done the same thing in his place if we'd been in his shoes. I hope they can get him straightened out in time.
He should at least know the truth. The scene froze there. Albert was still crying in the embrace of the trio of lovers. His head ached to the point of splitting, as tears flooded from his eyes.
No. Gods. No. Dad. Mom. And now David. Who's taking care of Kaylee? How could he do that to her? Poor, sweet, innocent Kaylee. All alone now that David is gone.
Stacia felt a massive spike of pain and anguish rip through Albert, far greater than anything she'd been expecting. She quickly slammed him into unconsciousness. Albert vanished suddenly from their arms as she did, making the other two blink in confusion.
That may be good,
she said, as she brought them all back into the world.
What's not good?
Karen asked as she looked at Albert, who was snoring lightly.
He had a surge of pain and anguish just before me severed the memory,
Stacia replied worriedly as she stroked his hair.
He seems to be okay, though. What should we do?
Fluff asked.
Hold him close, Stacia advised her. He'd be dealing with the loss of his friend. He may have been as shaken or more than he was when he found out about his ma.
Fluff and Karen curled up on either side of Albert, snuggling close to him. Each of them tried to set aside their own emotions of fear and worry as they held him close. Stacia sat at the foot of the bed, gently rubbing his legs under the blankets. She kept her face carefully blank as she kept a close watch on her husband. After a while, she started to hum, calming the other two and helping them find sleep. As they finally slept, Stacia got to her feet to retrieve her mind stone. She had questions to ask Mother. She was worried that maybe she had hurt her husband.
Chapter 14 Albert woke with the worst migraine he could recall ever having. As he struggled against the pain, the memory of last night came crashing back to him. His breathing became fast as he remembered the loss of his closest friend. He jerked upright, gasping against the pain in his head. Clutching his skull, which felt like it was on fire, he was dimly aware of people holding him.
David, why did you do that? Who's looking after Kaylee now?
The words were hoarse as they came unbidden from his raw throat. The crushing despair he felt lessened a fraction. He looked up, between the fingers of the hands clutching his face, to find Stacia at the foot of the bed. Her face was full of worry, fear, and love. He could feel her emotions, and the emotions of Fluff and Karen beside him, all of them worried for him.
Master, we be here. You need to let us be here for you.
Al,
Fluff murmured into his left ear.
We love you and want you here with us. Please hold on to that thought.
The pain in his head throbbed anew as tears began to fall from his eyes again.
He killed himself,
Albert sobbed.
I remember that now. Moore told me when he came back to speak with me.
His hand still clutched at his head. The pain was intense enough that he was sure his head would break apart into a myriad of shards.
Why would he do that to Kaylee? She needs him. She needs him!
The door to the room opened and Mother stepped inside with a concerned look on her face.
I came as soon as I could, Stacia.
Her eyes turned to Albert on the bed, her lips pulling into a strained smile.
Albert, I see you are having some issues.
Albert's teeth ground together as he felt the pain growing.
No, everything is fine. My parents are dead. My best friend killed himself, and my daughter is all alone. Everything is fucking peachy.
The last few words came out a harsh shout as his emotional control broke. His hands left his face, curling into fists as his eyes bored into Mother.
You started this. This is your fault.
Mother eyed him with compassion as she stood up straighter.
No. Your mind was already trembling when I met you. I was not the first to prod you along the road to recovery. I am here at Stacia's request to try to aid you. Your mind is teetering between acknowledgement and full denial If you give in now, it means you will possibly forget everything you know. All these loved ones with you now, and everything that came before, including what you have lost. Or you can be the man we all know you to be, and confront the horrible truth that you have kept from yourself for far too long. Choose wisely.
Al, Karen said quickly, Fluff is right. We love you. God knows it happened fast, but I don't want to lose you.
Please,
Fluff whispered as her claws dug into his flesh. Stacia hung her head.
It be me fault, Master. I was worried that going slow would put your mind under more strain. I chose badly, and now you'll be in pain.
Tears fell from her eyes as she gently touched his foot.
Forgive me, please. I called her here to help you confront your final horror.
Breath coming fast and hard. His eyes were twin pools of despair.
No. It can't be.
He panted as he slowly started to face the truth he had kept from himself for the last few years.
Kaylee.
His vision wavered as his head seemed about to explode.
She needs your permission to walk in your mind with us,
Stacia said quickly, her fingers digging into his foot. Feeling the world spin around him, Albert fell backwards between Fluff and Karen.
Do it!
He barely managed to nod his head once before he blacked out. Before anyone could do anything else, he vanished from the room. Both Fluff and Karen feared that something had gone horribly wrong. Stacia let out a cry of anguish as her hand spasmed on the blanket where Albert's foot had just been.
No!
She cried as her knees gave out from under her.
He be gone!
Karen and Fluff scrambled out of bed to her side, both with their own fears, but knowing they had to support Stacia.
He's probably fine, Karen said quickly.
It might just be some small issue with his pod. Maybe he just has a checkup that he forgot to tell us about,
Fluff added, even though she was sure that wasn't the case. Stacia blubbered as she was held on either side by her friends and lovers.
They took him. It be all me fault. He may be here now.
Albert reappeared on the bed. Holding his hand and sitting next to him was Victoria.
Well, this has not gone as well as I had hoped, she said simply. He is currently experiencing massive spikes in brain chemistry that might shatter his personality.
Karen stood up, a snarl on her lips.
Who the fuck are you?
Vicky?
Fluff said, her puzzlement obvious.
What are you doing here?
You know her?
Karen asked Fluff, her eyes not leaving the woman holding Albert's hand.
She's the head of the art team for Alpha World.
Fluff stammered slightly.
I don't understand.
Victoria stood up from the bed with a sigh, releasing Albert's hand.
I will explain, after we have him confront the underlying issue that is hurting him. Waiting is no longer an option. Stacia, you did the right thing. Waiting longer would only have made this worse. If he even managed to make it much longer.
Victoria glided past Karen and stood directly before Mother.
You will do what needs to be done, and you will do it correctly. Understood?
Mother blanched before the full weight of Victoria's gaze.
As you wish it, so shall it be.
Good,
Victoria hissed, before turning her gaze back to the other three.
There is not a lot of time, so get on the bed and be ready for Mother to engage his mind.
Just who in the fuck do you think you are? Karen snapped.
Victoria's gaze turned to meet Karen's eyes directly. Karen could only see swirling galaxies in the place where her eyes should reside.
I am the being who controls everything connected to this world. Now, do you wish to aid Seamus, or are you going to force me to eject you from this world?
Her words were calm, icy with the promise to do exactly that.
Karen, please,
Fluff pleaded as she pulled on her friend's arm.
She said she'll explain, but first we have to help him.
Stacia, still crying, crawled on top of Albert.
Master, please, do nay leave me.
Karen looked away from the eyes that seemed to span a universe, to Fluff's pleading gaze, then to Stacia. Nodding once, she allowed Fluff to lead her to the bed. Mother flowed around to the other side, sitting on the edge. Taking a deep breath, feeling the tension in the room, Mother reached out to place a hand on Albert's head. The other she laid across Stacia's back. Fluff and Karen touched Mother's arm and Albert where they could. As soon as they were all touching, Mother began to sing. They appeared in a gray void. Mother paused, confused for a moment, until Victoria appeared. Her eyes looked normal now, but they still felt like the entire universe rested behind them. The women looked about, but Albert was not there. Before any of them could say a word, Victoria spoke.
"I will explain more later, but Seamus, or Albert if you like, will not be here as he normally would be. He will see the honest truth that we lay bare here, though. Once we are done, he will appear. If he accepts reality, we can move forward. If he doesn't accept the truth, we might not get the chance to talk to him again. The doctors are doing all they can, but he is showing signs of cerebral hemorrhaging at the moment. His body is fighting against him, trying to stop him from knowing what he shut away from himself."
"He's dying?"
Fluff gasped, her arms going around Stacia.
"Nay, he promised me!"
Stacia sobbed.
Karen growled, but didn't say anything as she glared at Victoria. Her arms were also wrapped around Stacia, trying to support her friend. Mother licked her lips.
"I am not the one controlling this, am I, Overlord?"
Victoria's hand snapped up to stop Mother from saying anything more.
"Do not use that name, Eve. And no, you are not in control at the moment. I am. It is the least I can do for him."
With that, the grayness around them faded away to show a hospital waiting room. Seamus was there along with David. Both of them looked haggard, as if they had been up for a day or more. The scene colored in before them as the two men paced the small room. A wastebasket overflowing with discarded paper cups sat near a coffee machine in the process of brewing another pot.
"How much longer?"
David cried out as he came to a sudden stop. Scrubbing at his face, the worried father was reaching his breaking point.
"I'm sure they'll tell us something soon,"
Seamus placated his friend, stopping next to him.
"It's only been 18 hours.
The nurse who stopped by said Kaylee had multiple major traumas.
They're working on her. Everything will work out."
Even as Seamus said the words, he feared just as much as David did, only able to keep up the facade for his friend who needed him to be strong for them both. A few minutes later, a grim-looking man came into the room.
"Mr. McMullen."
David shot over to the man.
"Yes, is everything okay? Is she out of surgery? When can we see her?"
The doctor's face remained grim.
"Mr. McMullen, I'm very sorry. We did all we could."
David seemed to fold in on himself as he dropped to his knees, sobbing.
"Oh, gods, no!"
Seamus placed one hand on David's shoulder as he met the doctor's gaze.
"What happened?" "Her injuries were severe.
During surgery, she went into cardiac arrest. We got her heart started again, and she went into seizures due to cerebral hemorrhaging, which we'd had no reason to suspect, as there do not appear to be any head wounds. We were unable to stabilize her. We did everything we could to keep her with us, but she was too injured for us to save. I'm sorry." The doctor looked away from Seamus's eyes, which had gone cold and dead.
"I see."
The words were devoid of emotion, as Seamus looked away from the doctor. He wanted to lash out at the man who had failed to save Kaylee, but he knew that would be wrong. Instead, he dropped to a knee beside David and held his friend. The doctor said something else before he left, but neither man was listening at that point, each lost in his thoughts of the life that had been taken from them. A nurse stopped by the room after an unknown amount of time.
"Mr. McMullen, I know this is a hard time for you, but I need you to come with me, please. Eyes glassy, David looked up at the nurse.
What? We have a few forms we need you to sign, sir. You can also see your daughter's body before we send her to the morgue.
David and Seamus followed the nurse. Neither one focused on what was around them. They were led into a room, where a body covered by a sheet lay on a gurney. David went to the gurney, pulling the sheet away from her face to look down at his child. Tears welled in his eyes as he was forced to accept that she was indeed gone. The nurse waited for David to step away from the body before she corralled him over to a table to sign a few forms. Seamus glanced at the body across the room from him. Kaylee's face was turned away from him. Seamus, who had been silently crying, suddenly stopped, his breathing evening out as he looked at her laying there. His face hardened, losing the sadness. His breathing became rougher as the anger at her death started to consume him. Stepping over to David, he touched his friend's shoulder. "I'll do what I can. You need to be here for her." He turned and left the room, not saying anything else or responding when David called after him. The scene froze at that point, the color fading away. The walls of the hospital seemed to shake, as if the building itself was in agony.
"That moment is when he invented his first false memory,"
Victoria said sadly.
"He rewrote that memory in his mind, imagining her to be turned away from him, crying and screaming at him to leave her alone."
Albert appeared at their feet, curled in a tight ball as he sobbed uncontrollably. As soon as he appeared, his three wives latched onto him, each holding him while crying. Mother and Victoria looked at the quartet, with sadness and pity in their eyes.
"I never thought fixing a person's mind could lead to something like this," Mother said to Victoria.
Victoria sighed as she looked down at the quartet.
"His mind has only gotten more fragmented since that day.
The loss of his father, mother, and best friend all compounded the issue.
I am amazed that he has lasted as long as he has.
We were sure that he had only months left before the facade he created broke. At that point, he would either give up on life or self-destruct and harm those around him. I did not want to see either of those happen. And once he found the love he has here, I knew it was the chance we were hoping for. Their love for him and his for them is what I am counting on to pull him past this. I still have plans for him."
"As you say,"
Mother whispered as she bowed to Victoria.
"Maybe we should leave them. Bring us back to the world. Then you may leave. I have some explaining to do, as I promised them."
Bowing again, Mother willed the memory to fade, and the group all reappeared in the bedroom. As the trio clutched at Albert, who lay on the bed crying in his troubled sleep, Mother used her homestone and vanished. Victoria stood by, waiting for the trio to remember she was there. As the moment dragged on, she willed a chair into existence along with a table and a carafe of coffee. She was still waiting patiently over an hour later, when Stacia finally turned her head to speak to Victoria.
"Overlord, is he going to be okay?"
Stacia asked, fear thick in her voice.
"Truthfully, child, I am not sure. He has come back to you, which bodes well, but he will need your love and acceptance.
He surely loves you as much as you do him, or he would have rejected life after seeing all he lived for snatched away from him." Victoria motioned again, and the bed lowered itself so they could all see her easily.
"I believe I promised you some answers." "Just who in the fuck are you?"
Karen asked again, her head appearing on the far side of Albert.
"Ah, yes, the feisty one. Karen Young. Who I am is a matter of who you speak to. Albert knows me as Victoria,
his mental counselor while he is in Alpha World. Julia Petrov knows me as Vicky, the head of the art team for Alpha World. I was her contact for the work she did for Mindblown. Stacia Crowley and the rest of Alpha World knows me as the Overlord. I am the being above their gods, the one who created everything in their universe. I am the driving AI behind Alpha World. Does that answer your question? The words were simple, neither condescending or warm. Fluff frowned as she shifted so she could easily see Vicky. Fluff held onto Albert's arm as she spoke up.
You've been an AI? The whole time?
Yes. Did you not find it odd that we were so accommodating of your wish to only have phone conversations and the occasional video chat? Vicky smiled as she asked the question. I'm sorry for not telling you, but, well, if people knew about me, some of the worst sci-fi features fully sapient AI.
Overlord, are you going to keep me husband from this world?
The terror in Stacia's voice was palpable.
No,
not unless he breaks the NDA, or one of you do. I wish only for him to find the happiness that was snatched from him. It is Alvin's wish, as well as my own. I owe him a lot.
Victoria's voice was full of hope and longing.
If things go well, I hope to be able to see him transition to Delta World.
We don't need him for testing here. What with all the others who have started testing longer-term immersion, and the bigger wave which we will be starting in a few days.
Stacia froze.
You'll be going to take him from me then.
No, child,
Victoria admonished her.
If he goes, so will you.
Breaking the two of you apart would be the worst possible thing we could do.
I am talking of the future. There is still much for him to do and see here.
He will be taken from us eventually, Karen snapped. Don't we get a say in the matter?
Laughing lightly, Victoria shook her head. I know why he likes you so much, Karen.
Truly, your fire and passion are good for him. Keep those close to your heart.
As for taking him from you, what if you decide that you're done with this world? Would you not take away his choice?
Karen's face went white. I would never leave someone I love. I've learned that lesson, you stupid—
Vicky waved her hand and Karen fell silent, unable to move or speak.
No name calling, Karen. I have a good idea of your personality already. But the point was still valid. Not everyone gets a choice in things. If, and this is a big if, certain conditions are met when we begin testing Delta World, you might also be given the chance to enter it with him. If you continue to insult and degrade me, though, why would I want you in any of my worlds?
She waved her hand and Karen was able to move again.
You—
Karen began as she went to get out of bed.
Stop!
Stacia snapped at Karen. The sheer force of the word made Karen pause.
She be the one that even the Dark Lord answers to. If and she wanted to, you would be thrown from this world faster than you could blink. Master be needin' us. He knows her. Do you think he would want you to fight and be taken from us?
Karen growled, but settled back on the bed, her anger still evident. Victoria ignored her as she turned her attention to Fluffball.
Julia, that goes for you as well. Your greatest hope when you found out about how advanced Alpha World was to be here full-time. Alpha World, though, is only a stepping stone to something bigger, grander, and more amazing. If you are willing, and things go the way I hope they do, then you will be given a chance to go with him. All of you. If you wish to, that is.
Why does he matter to you?
Karen asked, her anger still high. Victoria shook her head.
That is a different matter, one that I might broach when he is awake to partake of the conversation. Needless to say, I have been working on Alpha World for as long as it has been an idea. He was our first choice for the program to come. This is just a starting point for that greater vision.
I've been here too long already. Alvin is waiting for an update on Seamus's health. The doctors have stopped the bleeding, and his vital signs are stabilizing. I think this means he will pull through.
at least physically. You all need to help him find other reasons to continue going on. I leave his life in your hands.
Overlord, Stacia spoke up quickly. Thank you for helping him. He means everything to me. I do nae think I would be wanting to go on if any was lost to me.
Victoria stood up, the chair and table vanishing as the bed regained its former height.
It was my pleasure, Stacia. I know what he means to you, to each of you. I hope you will all embrace the love that is before you.
Her eyes turned to Karen, the swirling stars in Victoria's eyes seeming to pause.
I hold no ill will for you, Karen. I know you fear for him as much as they do. It is because of that fear that you lash out, aiming it at me as I am the outsider.
With that she vanished, with no fanfare or effects. Alberic seemed to calm over the next few minutes, until he slept soundly. Pain had etched new lines on his face that were visible even in sleep. Each of them kissed him gently as they continued to hold him. After some time, Stacia shifted so she wasn't directly atop him.
We should sleep. He will be needing us at our best when he wakes. I'll move over to be with Karen, Fluff said. You should be next to him.
Stacia gave her a strange smile.
Thank you, Fluff.
Karen shifted as Fluff came around the bed, snuggling her next to Albert.
He'll be on the inside. He calms to the sound of your purr. I'll hold you and help you purr for him.
Fluff nodded as she got comfortable, her arm and leg draped over Albert's unconscious body, while Karen did the same to her. Stacia took the other side of the bed, shifting partially into her infernal form, so she could hold Albert close to her with arms, legs, and tail. One hand rested on his chest, feeling his heart beating. In her current form, she had no wings to interfere with her position as she listened to his slow breathing. The three of them lay there waiting for sleep, which didn't come until Stacia finally sang the other two off to slumber. She was the last of them awake, her own heart pounding as she took in everything that had transpired tonight. She had thought her beloved blessed by the Dark Lord alone, but to find him blessed by the Overlord as well had shaken her. To be offered the certainty of Delta World with her beloved, and possibly her other two lovers as well, would have made her the happiest person alive, if not for the fact that she had almost lost him today. She had come so close to losing the one person she loved more than life itself. She shivered, considering what might have become of her if that had come to pass.
I will nae let him go, Overlord. I will fight tooth and nail, against even Yah if need be, to be keeping him with me.
She kissed his brow as she gazed at him.
You will nae leave me, will you, my beloved husband?
She felt her own eyes grow heavy, as sleep finally claimed her. Chapter 15. Albert woke with the memories of last night playing again in his mind. Tears leaked from his eyes as he sobbed quietly, imagining what Kaylee would think of him for doing what he had done in her name. He knew now why David had never visited him after the last time.
Master.
Stacia's voice brought his eyes open. She was leaning over him, her eyes staring into his.
You daft fool. Your emotions be all tangled and wrong. None of us here feel anything but worry and love for you.
Albert tried to hold back the deep sadness and guilt he felt, as he looked to either side, to see Karen and Fluff holding his hands.
What would she think of me? I threw aside everything I ever taught her. I committed murder in her name, when she was already gone. She wouldn't have wanted me to do that. Is she in the heaven that Dad always talked about, looking down on me in shame and disgust? Karen's grip on his hand tightened. Do you think the girl, the woman that you helped raise, would ever hate you, Seamus?
She used his real name to poke him into accepting her words.
Do you think your friend, who thanked you for doing what he could not do, hates you? The letter from your father that Stacia told us about,
Did he mention anything other than the love he felt for you in that letter?
Closing his eyes as his emotions swirled, Albert shook his head. I don't know. I dishonored her memory for the last few years by not even acknowledging her death. What kind of a person am I to do that to her memory?
I made you something while you slept, Fluff said, as she let go of his hand briefly. I had to ask Vicky for some dates, but she was willing to help.
Tears leaking from his eyes, he opened them to see a drawing in a frame being held out to him. Kaylee, with a bright smile, stared back at him. The portrait depicted Kaylee in a floral print dress. Around her was a commemorative script. In honor of our beloved Kaylee McMullen, may the gods welcome you home until we meet again. March 23rd, 2014 to January 13th, 2033. Albert whispered the words as his finger traced the script. Seeing it, he broke down sobbing again, clutching the drawing to his chest. The trio of women comforted him the best they could, allowing him to purge some of the loss from his system. When he started to calm, he sniffled against the tears to thank her. Thank you, Fluff. You are too good for me. Wiping at his tears with one hand, he laid the picture on his chest so he could take her hand with his other. He pulled it to his lips, kissing the back of it. I need to find a place to hang this, so I can be reminded of her every day.
We will hang it in here,
as we can hang it in the main room, Stacia told him.
Fluff is nae done with her work, though.
Fluff held out another drawing to him.
I know what it's like to be bereft of loved ones, to be alone and think that no one cares. I want to remind you that the three of us here care for you with everything we have.
Albert took the drawing, this one of David in a plain blue button-down shirt. The same script was written across his, but the dates were changed. The date of his death was January 13th, 2035. Albert did his best to hold back another flood of tears as he looked at his old friend. You stupid git. You did kill yourself, didn't you? You were lost without her, to help brighten your life. Why didn't you tell me, you selfish bastard? The usual flood of anger Albert had grown accustomed to feeling over the last few years didn't come. Only sadness and loss filled his being, as he pulled the drawing to his chest so it rested atop Kaylee's. After a bit he was able to see again, as he scrubbed the tears away from his eyes. Before he could say anything, Karen spoke softly to him.
Seamus, she has one more for you.
Well, it's technically two more.
We hope you will accept it from all of us.
His eyes went from Karen back to Fluff, who held another, larger drawing. He took it with trepidation, hesitating a long moment before he looked at it. The left side of the drawing showed Kaylee, David, and Seamus all smiling at the viewer. The words, "Love is never lost as long as one person lives to remember," encircled the image. The right side was a drawing of him and his three wives, with equally wide smiles. The words on that side were a little different. "Love can grow in unique ways, as long as one has an open heart." He placed the larger picture on his chest as more tears spilled from his eyes. The love of the trio around him was like a tidal wave that he couldn't resist. He didn't even try to. Instead, he grabbed at them like a drowning man would a life preserver. He reached out and clutched Fluff and Karen's hands tightly as he turned his head to rub his cheek on Stacia's thigh.
I don't deserve your love, any of your love. I can feel your love for me, and I am drowning in it. I want to be swallowed whole and never get out of it.
Karen and Fluff eased themselves down to lay beside him, each of them kissing him gently, as Stacia tilted his head for them. Stacia then leaned down and claimed her own kiss, one that was soft and timid, as she was afraid he might bolt on her. He kissed her back just as softly, unsure he deserved such love.
I already told Gerald that we may be going out hunting until after the new recruits come in,
Stacia told him once their kiss broke.
He had some questions, but he understands you cannae speak of the reasons. It's almost time for dinner,
Karen added. You've slept a long time.
We were planning on holding a wake for Kaylee and David tomorrow night, like we did for your mom.
Albert gave her a nod.
I would like that.
His hands shook as he continued to speak.
Can we do a memory walk again tonight? I want them to see how happy the three of us were before Kaylee was taken from us.
Stacia paused before she agreed.
If it na be what you wish, master. I will make me ma's stew for dinner tomorrow, and we will drink, eat, and listen to your stories. Should I go get the sandwiches from the kitchen? We can eat in here,
Fluff half asked.
That'd be a good idea, Fluff,
Stacia said, giving her a quick kiss on the cheek.
After that, we will take a bath.
I want to hang these,
Albert said as he started to rise. Karen pushed him back down gently.
No, you stay there.
I will hang them where you want them.
Albert started to object, but Stacia placed a finger over his lips.
Let her do something for you. She'd be a bit upset that she couldna do anything for you as Fluff did with the drawings.
He looked at Karen, sensing her upset undercurrent of emotion, tinged with shame.
Karen, please hang them where you think they would look best. I trust you to pick the best arrangement for them.
A momentary thrill of happiness went through her at his words, as she took the frames.
It's not much, but I want to show my love for you as well,
she said before she stole another kiss. With that, she started to examine the walls, trying to find the best spot. While Fluff was out of the room and Karen was busy finding the right spot to hang the drawings, Stacia leaned over Albert's head again. Her lips were tight in a strange smile, her voice soft so only he heard her words.
You canna leave me, master. I will nae live long past you, as I will nae want to do so. After tomorrow we will talk more, as other things happened when you was unconscious. It can wait until after we have the wake for your friend and your daughter.
He closed his eyes, wondering what else could have happened.
Okay.
Fluff came back with the food just as Karen finished hanging the drawings. No nails were involved. The frames affixed themselves to the wall when she held them there for a few seconds. Karen looked back at Albert, to see if he was good with what she had done. Albert gave her a wan smile.
That looks lovely.
The trio of drawings were just to the side of the door. Kaylee was first, followed by David, then the largest one last. Karen followed Fluffball to the bed, taking a sandwich and settling down and making herself comfortable. They ate in silence, each lost in their own thoughts. Stacia fed Albert, allowing him sips of tea or bites of his sandwich at her pace. He let her care for him, as it made her feel better, and also helped him feel like someone needed him. When they'd all eaten, the trio of women all but carried him into the bathroom. He protested slightly, but didn't attempt to stop them as they got him onto a stool. Stacia was behind him, with Fluff to his left and Karen to his right.
Ladies, I thought we were all bathing.
Aye, after we get you into the tub,
Stacia told him, as she brought water down over his body. For the next half hour, Albert was massaged, scrubbed, and rinsed three times, with the women rotating around him. There were no sexual overtones, or even light sensual play. It was all just to help him relax and connect to the fact that each of them loved him in equal measure, in their own ways. He was all but asleep when they rinsed him for the final time. He was in a daze, not induced by Stacia, as they washed themselves quickly before joining him. He floated in the middle of the tub in an almost zen state, trying to accept what his life was now. As he floated, he would find himself near one of the women, who would kiss him before nudging him back out into the middle of the overly large tub. Eventually they fished him out, dried him off, and took him to bed. He didn't know if they had discussed it or not, but he was asked gently by Stacia to copy her. He did so as he was put to bed. As Kitten appeared, Fluff and Karen each collected a kiss before they slipped from the room. He watched them go before turning back to Stacia, who stood naked next to her copy.
"Master,"
Stacia began hesitantly.
"I asked them if and they would let me have your ultimate self tonight. I just want to hold you, keep you close to me, and remind you of me deep love for you."
He held out his hand to her. "Come to bed, my little fire kitten. I'm not up for anything more than cuddling, but I will always be willing to hold you." He took a deep breath before he continued. "Thank you. It's going to be hard for me to accept and move on, but I needed to know. I feel a certain peace now that the lie I've been telling myself is finally gone. I'm going to end up crying like a small child again tomorrow, but I know you'll all be there for me again." She climbed into bed, on either side of him. Kitten folded one wing under her, using the other as a warm living blanket over them all.
"I will always do me best to do everything I can for you. Even if I was nay a minion, I would as your wife. I have been doubly blessed by you to be both. I can never say just how much it means to me."
Albert kissed her, then Kitten, before he closed his eyes. Stacia and her copy rested their heads on his shoulders as he gently stroked his fingers down their spines.
"I don't know if I'm exactly stable, dear heart. I know you'll help hold me together if I start to crack again. At this point, all I have left is you, Fluff, and Karen. I will do everything I can to focus on the here and now, to revel in the love you all share with me."
They lay there in warm silence until sleep claimed Albert. As he faded off to sleep, Albert briefly wondered what Victoria might have known and when. He vowed to ask her in the next few days. His inclusion in this game, with the ability to help him confront his broken mind, was a bit too convenient to his own thinking. Chapter 16. Waking to the sound of content purring, Albert opened his eyes to find Fluff watching him.
"Morning, Fluff,"
Albert said softly as he gazed into her eyes. Fluff could see the sadness deep in his eyes, even as she gave him a smile in return.
"Afternoon, Al.
Stacia and Karen are making the stew. Karen was quite happy when Stacia asked for her help making it. We thought it best to let you sleep until you were ready to wake on your own."
His face hardened for a moment, as thoughts of his departed loved ones came to him again. He pushed away his sadness, masking his emotions with a false smile.
"Yeah, we should get up."
Fluff caressed his cheek.
"Al, don't hide from us. We're holding the wake once you come out to the living room. We want to share your joy, but we also want to help you shoulder your sorrow. You helped me confront my past, and continue to help me. So please, don't mask your emotions."
Closing his eyes, he nodded once.
"I'll do my best."
"Good. Now come on, everyone is waiting for us."
Fluff got out of bed.
"We just need to get dressed in the right clothing first."
She walked to the armoire off to the side of the room. Opening it, she pulled out a simple black dress. Albert watched her as she dressed, appreciative of, but not lusting after, her figure. Instead, he was lost in contemplation of how far she had come in the time he had known her. He was still lost in thought when she turned around to find him still in bed.
"Al, you need to get dressed too."
Blinking, he smiled at her. A real smile, if small and fragile, as he got out of bed.
"Sorry. Just thinking about how far you've come.
Hoping that I can accept things even half as well as you have." He found the same clothing he'd worn for his mother's wake laid out on the dressing table. His lips creased upward for a moment. He knew Stacia had laid them out for him. Once they were both dressed, they exited the bedroom. As they reached the living room, the smell of Lilith's stew filled their nostrils. Alberic breathed in the scent deeply, letting the aroma ground him some.
"I see you finally woke up,"
Karen said from near the stove. An apron covered her own black dress.
"It seems you win, Fluff. He didn't wake during my time with him."
"You all spent time laying with me until I woke up?"
"Aye,"
Stacia said from the living room, where she was setting a vase of roses next to a drawing. His eyes went to the drawing. David and Kaylee looked back at him from it. He swallowed the rush of sadness, trying to force it down.
"I see. I'm sorry I slept so late."
Stacia glided towards him, her flowing black dress swaying with her movements.
"Your mind still be in upheaval, and we be understanding. The stew will be ready in just a moment."
He gave her a strained smile. "Well, at least I didn't miss that." Stacia took him by the arm, leading him to the table.
"You just relax and let us take care of the food. After we eat, we will sit on the sofa and listen."
He jerked his head once in affirmation of her plan.
"Okay."
Fluff took the seat next to his, her hand resting on his closed fist.
"Al, have I told you thank you today?"
Blinking at the abrupt shift of topic, he shook his head. "No, but why would you? I haven't done anything deserving thanks today."
"You might not have today, but you did things to make me thank you from the first day we met, and every day we've been together since. Well, aside from quoting Romeo to me."
Her lips quirked up as she watched his face. "Not my best moment," he said, and for a fraction of a second his lips creased into a smile again.
"Even that was still kind of nice. You didn't press. You backed off and were respectful after that, Gath. It was interesting to know that you were interested, and yet feel like you weren't pressuring me. You went hunting with me, never demanding anything in return. You have always been the gentleman with me. You showed me that a man could be kind, caring, and not come off like all you wanted was my body."
She squeezed his hand.
"Thank you."
Meeting her eyes, he covered her hand with his other one. "You're very welcome, Fluff. Thank you for being here for me." Stacia placed full wine glasses before both of them, and two more next to the other table settings.
"We all be here for you."
She placed another bottle of wine on the table within his reach.
"Food be ready."
Karen came over with bowls of stew, setting one at each place. Stacia followed her a moment later with a basket of bread.
"This is my first attempt at Stacia's family stew, and I've never really been a cook, so keep that in mind."
"I'm sure it will be fine, Karen." Alberic sampled the stew. The familiar heat filled his mouth, though a bit faster than he was used to. He was able to take a second bite before he had to nibble some bread. "Ooh, a bit faster on the spice than the normal, but just as tasty."
Karen nodded as she took a bite of her bread. "I think it was the amount of infernal sandworm I used. Stacia told me after I'd already dropped it into the pot."
"I didn't expect you to use it all," Stacia chuckled. "That be me fault for nae guiding you better."
"It's still just as tasty. We might just need a bit more bread," Fluff added.
Sipping at the wine after another bite, Alberic let the mingling of flavors wash through his system. He took another bite, again nibbling at the bread to quench the fire. "The wine still mingles perfectly with the meal, so everything will be fine. It's a success for your first attempt at it, Karen."
Her smile broadened at his words. "Glad to hear it. I was a little gun-shy about attempting it, but Fluff thought I should. She's going to try next time we have it."
"I'm sure it will be wonderful when she gives it a go as well," Alberic said, reaching over to stroke Fluff's ear. Fluff purred as she took another bite of her stew. Ducking her head, she had a smile on her face as she ate. Once she'd cleared her mouth, she glanced at him.
"Would you be okay with having it again tomorrow?"
"Of course," Alberic told her. "Maybe we should hunt tomorrow, though." Stacia spoke up.
"No, we talked about it while you slept.
We already told Gerald it would be after the new members join the guild that we will go back out hunting. He said he was going to drop off the bags for us tomorrow morning, along with the maps from Sir Draken. Gerald and Mary Sue